Hey there, this is Jason Hensley with the Magnify Him Together podcast. Today we're going to talk a little bit about Philemon. Now, that's not really the subject of the podcast today. We are going to be discussing Philemon and his relationship with Onesimus and going through the book of Philemon. But really, the main subject, the thing we're really going to be focusing on here in the story of Philemon, is complexity. Now, I teach 3rd and 4th grade English. And as a 3rd and 4th grade English teacher, I therefore get to read a lot of children's books. And one of the things that you notice when you're reading children's books is that the story always gets simplified. You know, there's almost always a good guy in the story, a protagonist. There's almost always a bad guy in the story, an antagonist. And as you start to read the story, you know, it's pretty easy to see, oh, this person's good, right? I want them to do well. And, oh, this person's bad. Well, hopefully bad things happen to them. You know, sometimes stories have surprise endings. Things switch around. And yet when they do switch around, you never really have a character that's, well, kind of good and kind of bad. Have you noticed that? Right? Maybe it's that, oh, here's a character that we thought was good, but, oh, he's actually the bad guy. Or, oh, here's a character that we thought was bad, but, oh, now she just, you know, completely changed things around and became the good guy in the story. That's how children's books work. And you know what's funny is I think sometimes we get so used to this kind of paradigm of looking at people as good people, bad people, that we approach the Bible, and maybe even life, as if it's a children's book. We read the Bible and we say, oh, is this person a good person or a bad person? Or we meet somebody and we make a value judgment about who they are based off of that first impression. Now, I'm not trying to say that there aren't people in the Bible who are clearly bad. There are. I mean, there's not a whole lot you can do about Haman, right? Haman is Haman, and Haman is bad, very clearly in the Bible. But at the same time, the Bible isn't the way that children's books are. Because the Bible is about real life. And so there's a level of complexity when we start to look at people that I think sometimes we forget exists. And so that's why we're going to talk about Philemon. I don't know if you've ever noticed this in the story of Philemon, but Philemon must have been a very faithful, very well-respected brother. This is the kind of letter that if you had gotten a letter like this from the Apostle Paul, you'd probably feel really privileged, almost honored. Can you just imagine this? Listen to how Paul starts this letter. This is how he describes Philemon. This is verse 4. Verse 4, he says, I thank my God always when I remember you in my prayers. Can you imagine the Apostle Paul saying to you that whenever he thinks about you when he's praying, he doesn't say, you know, oh, this person needs a lot of help, right? But instead he says, thank you so much for them. That's awesome, right? And this gives us an idea of who Philemon is. So Paul says, I thank my God always when I remember you in my prayers because I hear of your love and of the faith that you have toward the Lord Jesus and for all the saints. And I pray that the sharing of your faith may become effective for the full knowledge of every good thing that is in us for the sake of Christ. For I have derived much joy and comfort from your love, my brother, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you. Now, if you read that description, There's no way you could look at Philemon and say, oh, well, see? Here's the story, and I knew it. Philemon's the bad guy. Right? There's just no way to characterize him that way. But the Apostle Paul is effusive. Not only this, but if you read the whole epistle, you'll find out in verse 2 that Philemon has an ecclesia in his house. And if you read verse 22, that Philemon appears to be so close to the Apostle Paul that when the Apostle is coming to Colossae, where Philemon lives, he tells Philemon, and get a bedroom ready for me, because I'm going to stay at your house. So this is Philemon, such a faithful brother that the Apostle Paul thanks God for him, and he takes comfort and joy in Philemon's faith. Now with that said, we've already said, okay, well, you can't classify Philemon then as the bad guy in the story. So if we come to this with our children's book view, we would say, okay, well, he's obviously not the bad guy, so therefore he's the good guy. Philemon must be the good guy. And yet, what's this story about? Have you thought about that? Here's this faithful, loving brother who has the ecclesia in his house, who's so close with the Apostle Paul that the Apostle wants to stay at his house. And he has a slave named Onesimus who ran away. Well, that's interesting. Now, I mean, we don't know why he ran away. But I think it would be reasonable to imagine that, well, if he ran away, that probably indicates that he didn't think that life under Philemon as a master was the best life he could have. That's odd, isn't it? Don't you think? Here's this brother that's faithful and loving, and yet doesn't appear to treat slaves the way that Scripture said to treat slaves. You know, under the law, if you look at Exodus 21, the law talks about how a slave could say, I love my master. You know, I love my master, so I'm going to devote my life to him. But that doesn't seem like what's going on with Onesimus. Onesimus runs away. And now if you think, you know, okay, that's a stretch, well, that's fine. But then consider the fact that Paul thought it necessary to write a letter to Philemon to say, now that Onesimus is coming back to you, receive him as a brother. Why did Paul have to say that? If Philemon had understood the relationship that a master was to have with his slaves, if Philemon had understood the relationship that a brother in Christ was to have with a brother in Christ, why did Paul need to even write this letter? This letter is all about when Onesimus comes, treat him as you would treat me. Treat him in love. Treat him with respect. Why did Paul need to say that? And so here you have a brother who's incredibly faithful. A brother that makes the Apostle Paul overflow with thankfulness because of his love. But he's not the good guy in the story. That's not to say that he's the bad guy either. He's not either of them. Philemon is complex. Philemon does some things really well, and there's other things that he's learning, that he's struggling with. And I think that's so important for us to understand when we come to Scripture, that Scripture is so much more complex. Humans are so much more complex than we like to make them. You know, we so often like to simplify. This person's bad, this person's good. And it doesn't work that way. And I think that Scripture helps us to remember that. that humans are more complex, situations are more complex, the way that God is working is more complex. And that so often we are tempted to make a judgment. To say, oh, well, there you go. See what that person did? Ha, they're bad. Or see what that person just said? Ha, they don't know anything. But that's not what Scripture teaches us about people. Instead of making those kind of calls, Scripture tells us to do what the Apostle Paul did. To recognize that somebody can be faithful and still make bad choices. And not just to write them off because they might make that bad choice, but instead, as the Apostle did, to do what we can to inspire them to make the right choice. Knowing that whatever choice they make doesn't necessarily determine what kind of person they are. Because ultimately, people, life, situations, they're all so much more complex than we like to make them. And perhaps recognizing that can give us a little more appreciation for our God, because He can make those kind of judgments. Because God can understand the entire situation. Because God can see the end from the beginning. And so as we think about complexity, let's ultimately bring it to that point. That not only should it encourage us to back off in our judgments of character, but it should leave us with a profound appreciation for the wisdom, knowledge, and understanding of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks for listening. And I'll see you next time on the Magnify Him Together podcast.